There we go. Sometimes the battery needs just a little attention. The question on the front of your bulletin is, why believe? And it's a valid question. Maybe it's a question you've even been considering. Why should I believe in Jesus Christ? Why should I trust Him with the things that matter most to me? The way I spend my life, the way I spend my money, the way I treat my family, the way I do my work, all those things are wrapped up in this question, why believe? And church is the right place to talk about that question, even though a lot of people think maybe we shouldn't talk about that, because like, shouldn't you believe when you first walk in the door? And maybe I'm not allowed to ask the question why I should believe in Jesus, but it's a perfectly valid question for you to be asking this morning. Maybe you're exploring that for the first time and you're thinking through all the answers to that question and you're working through it and you're coming to a point that you're believing in Jesus, but you're not quite there yet. Or maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for a very long time, but because of some stuff that's happened in your life recently, you're going, should I continue to believe in Jesus? Does it make sense to believe in Jesus in the face of the things that are going on in my world and going on in my family, going on in my life? Again, perfectly valid questions. Whichever one of those situations you might be in today, or maybe another one, that's causing you to ask the question, why should I believe? This series is for you. We begin today, and we're going to be asking questions just like this for the next several weeks. And maybe there's some stuff that's keeping you from believing. And what I would love for you to do is to write those questions, those issues, on your Connect card today or throughout this series. And we'll take a look at those. And hopefully we can address some of those on Sunday morning. We have a podcast during the week that's called Sunday Unpacked. And if we don't get to them on Sunday, we'll get to them in the podcast. So let us know what you're thinking, because I would really rather answer the questions that you're actually asking than the ones I think you're asking. So help us out with that. But today we're going to begin with one, what sounds simple, but it's the big question. Is there a God? Is there a God who's up in heaven? Did he create the world? Did he just guide the process? I mean, how did that work? And can I believe in a God who actually exists? Now, again, it seems a little bit odd to ask that question in church, where we sort of assume everybody's already at that point of believing in God. But if you're asking that question this morning, I'm glad, first of all, that you're here. I'm glad that you came this morning to spend part of your Easter Sunday with us. And I also want to say that, again, this is the right place to answer that question. And let me also say, if you're asking that question, I guarantee you are not the only person in this room, so don't feel alone. There are other people asking the very same question, is there a God? And I want us to think about that a little bit this morning on this Easter Sunday, because that stands behind everything that we tell the story of on Easter. And we'll come to that in a few minutes. But I'd like us today to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of Paul's letters, because I think Paul helps us a little bit this. And maybe you're thinking, how can we go to the Bible if I'm not sure I believe in God? Well, just hang with me, because I think Paul does give us some guidance in this. Now, before we get there, what we got to do is step back in time. It's hard to do 2,000 years. To go back to the ancient city of Corinth, where Paul visited on his second journey. It was a city in eastern Greece, and it was a fully Greco-Roman ancient city, which means if you walked down the streets of Corinth in the ancient world, and Paul would have done this, what you would find on sort of lining both sides of the main roads was temples to the ancient gods, the Greek and Roman gods, Jupiter and Zeus and all the others. And you really had to, if you were a citizen of ancient Corinth, you had to visit those temples and make the proper sacrifices. Why? Because you wanted to keep the gods happy. Because if they're not happy, they're going to make sure you're not happy too. You see, it's purely transactional. I do this for the gods, they do this for me. I offer this for my harvest, and then they give me a good harvest. I offer this because I want a son firstborn. They give me a son firstborn. All these things that you were getting from the gods. There was never any talk about a God who actually cared for anyone. The gods were there to get what they wanted from the people, too. There was no talk of having a relationship with God. And so this is a very different thinking from what Paul brought with him into the ancient city of Rome. Now, another thing about ancient cities is it's a little bit of a closed world because, you know, there's obviously no internet, no international news, none of that stuff to help you know what's happening in the rest of the Roman Empire. You only hear because someone visits. So when they had visits from people from other cities and even other places outside the Roman Empire, that was exciting because these skilled rhetoricians, these skilled speakers would come in and they would sort of hold court and they would tell stories. And if you went to hear one of those speakers, you might hear about stuff that you would never experience and places that you could never go. And so when someone came in as a visiting speaker, they drew a crowd. And Paul was one of those people who came from the outside world and visited Corinth, and people began to come and listen. And what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 2 is reflect back on the time he first arrived in Corinth and began to talk to these people about Jesus. And this is what he says. "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." Paul says, listen, I wasn't like some of those trained, skilled speakers who had all these special ways of talking that impressed people and used big words and painted these verbal pictures, all that stuff. I just came and talked. And what did Paul talk about? The testimony of God. He says, this is where I began. I began with God. And the reason Paul had to begin with God was the God that he understood to exist, the God that he had worshipped from being a child as a Jew in Cilicia. Tarsus was the city he grew up in, and he would have gone to synagogue, and he would have made his way to Jerusalem for feasts. And this God of the Old Testament was very different from the Greco-Roman gods. It wasn't just, you give me this and I give you that. It was that God actually wanted a relationship with his chosen people. And then Paul saw that fulfilled as he heard about Jesus. And so he came into Corinth saying, listen, I want to tell you about a different kind of God. Not what you've heard all of your life, not where you go and you sort of make a transaction with the God, but a God who actually cares about you. And then he says this in verse 2. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's saying, listen, I wanted you to know about God, but the clearest way for me to tell you about who God is and what God is like is for me to tell you about Jesus. Because we don't have any clearer picture of God than Jesus. Because the God that I serve is not like the gods who sort of sit in the heavens and look down and say, oh, that's sort of funny what those guys are going through, and laugh a little bit about what humanity is enduring. This is a God who actually cared enough to intervene. A God who was active. A God who came and lived among us and died for us. That's the picture of God I want to give you. And then verse 3, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, but on God's power. Paul says it wasn't my wisdom, my smarts, my training, my rhetorical skills. It was that I showed you the Spirit of God at work. So he wanted to talk about God the Father through Jesus with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right here in 5 verses. Okay, so we get Paul began with God, and that's where we're starting today. Does God exist? Is there a God? And he did it through telling about Jesus. We get that, and we'll talk more about that next Sunday. And then with the demonstration of the power of God's Spirit. And maybe sometimes we think, wouldn't it be easier if we had that? I mean, wouldn't it be easier for us to believe in God? I mean, we're all right here in this room. Wouldn't it be nice if God would just show up and speak and say, I sure am glad you've joined me on this Easter. Thank you for worshiping my son. But that has not happened in my experience so far. I'm not going to say God can't do that, okay? Because he might show me right now. But I don't expect it. But it would be a little easier to believe in this God if he did that. Paul was performing signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit, as were the rest of the apostles. And that was convincing people that God was at work. And we say, well, we don't have exactly that today. But we do have evidence of the work of God. And all we've got to do is look at the world around us. I mean, there's been sort of an emphasis on space just in the last few days with the launch of the Artemis II and all that stuff that's going on. And that's pretty nearby when we actually think about the size of the galaxy around us, right? Scientists say there are 200 billion, that's with a B, stars in just the Milky Way galaxy. And when we begin to imagine that number, which I can't, and the size of this galaxy and how it's spread out and the intricacy of it all and how complex it is and how it's designed to support this one sun around which there is this third planet that orbits, and here we are set up exactly as we need it for human life. So it sure seems like there's something behind that. It sure seems like that's a demonstration of God's power for our very existence today. We can't imagine the complexity and the size of just one galaxy, much less all the others in the universe. But we go from the very large to the very small. And our understanding of the way that the smallest things in the universe operate, atoms, and then the particles that make up atoms, and the strange behavior that they have, like it seems as though some particles exist in two places at one time. Some particles exist in one place in the universe, and then they affect other particles that are so far away we can't imagine instantaneously. How does that happen? How do we explain that? Except by a being who created it intentionally. The complexity of the very large and the very small are impressive, but you know what? They don't even compare to what's going on between your ears right now. 86 billion neurons firing in your human brain right now. Hearing the sounds that I'm making with my mouth and interpreting them into words that make sense, hopefully, right? That's my goal anyway. And not just the words themselves, but the concepts that I'm trying to communicate to you today. All that's going on instantaneously. You're not even thinking about that happening. And while that's going on, you're probably still having some emotions about things that are going on in your life, whether it's sadness or sorrow or joy or happiness. You're glad that there's family with you today and some things that you have planned for this afternoon, but you're also worrying about getting Easter dinner done on time. All that's going on while I'm talking. And more. Because your brain is supporting your life. Your heart's beating. Your lungs are opening and closing. That brain of yours is keeping you alive right now. All that's happening right now. The complexity of that is beyond what we can really comprehend, and it points to a demonstration of the power of God at work in creation. But then we go beyond just who we are physically to how do we experience these moments of incredible joy? Where does that come from? It can't seem to be manufactured. It's a gift to us in certain moments in life. And then that desire that seems to have been present from the beginning of human history to come in contact with the God who made us. We keep coming back to this. We want to know God. Where does that come from? It seems to me that is something that God has put within us. And then we look at this God at work in human history. And we see evidence of a God who came to be among us, this person Jesus, that almost all historians would say, Christian or not, yeah, he existed. We've got too much evidence to say he didn't. And then we've got the testimony of these people who said, you know what? I saw him die on a cross. He was buried. And then 3 days later, he's alive. And there were hundreds of people who witnessed Jesus alive after he had died. Now, we might say, well, ancient people, more gullible than we are, more primitive than we are. I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the accounts in the Gospels and the beginning of Acts, what you find is that these people, when they first heard the news, had just as much problem thinking that someone was raised from the dead as we would today, because it didn't happen any more then than it does now. God at work. And so I would say, when we're dealing with why believe, we got to begin with God. We got to begin with the God who created us, who created all things and with their incredible complexity and order, and allows us to live in this universe that he made, and then he came to be among us. We got to begin with that God. And you know, the good news for us on this Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, the good news that we share with one another and the good news we want to share with the folks around us is this God that we're talking about loves you. This God gave you life. And because you were separated from this God by your sin, this God acted to bring you back. And so, where do we start? We start with a God who loves us deeply, enough to send his son to die on a cross for our sins. And a God who wanted us with him so much that he raised that son back to life. That's the good news for us on this Easter Sunday. And maybe you're beginning to see some answers. It's my hope that if you're asking some of these questions, like, why believe? You know, we can't cover it all in one Sunday. In fact, it's hard to cover any of these big questions in 20 minutes, but we get some beginnings of answers, and I hope you'll come back. And maybe you're not even dealing with those particular questions yourself, but I guarantee you there's someone you love who is. Son, a daughter, grandson, granddaughter, spouse, sibling, parent, friend. And you may be the person, because they may not know me or any other preacher or supposed expert in all this. They know you. And because you're in proximity, because you're in the right place, these answers can help you deal with the questions that folks are going to have. So why believe? We always want to start with God. A God who loves us, and a God who offers us new life. Let's pray together. God, we're so thankful for your love for us, and we're thankful that you have demonstrated your power so that we can believe in you. So God, we come before you asking that you be with each person who might be asking the question today, why should I believe in Jesus? And God, we pray you'll keep calling them to you and showing them the answers to these big questions that really matter in life. God, help us to be people who are ready to talk about these big questions, to have conversations that can help people walk through the answers to hard questions. God, help us to be people who point to you in all we do. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.